إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the famous ayah of Surah Az-Zariyat, which we all know, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have not created the jinn and the human beings for any purpose other than to worship us. The thing that I want to remind you and myself is that it is the beauty of this deen that if we follow and if we live the purpose for which we have been created, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will actually reward us for doing that which we would have done anyway, for the fulfillment of our natural needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for that. The fulfillment of the natural need becomes an object of worship, an act of worship. Not an object of worship, an act of worship. The famous hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba that if you have the company of your wives in accordance with the Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, but we go to our wives for our own personal pleasure and our fulfillment of our own need. Allah will reward us for that. Allah will actually give us hasanat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you try to fulfill your need or to fulfill your desire in a way which is haram, will Allah not punish you? They said, yes, Allah will punish us. If we commit zina, if we commit fornication, Allah will punish us. So he said, then is it not fair and just that if you do not do that, and if you fulfill your needs in accordance with the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then should he not reward you? So he said, he will reward you. Now if we take this and we apply it across our whole lives, then all it needs is for us to stop for a minute before we do anything, whatever that action may be, no matter how small or big, and ask a very simple question, and the question is, does this please Allah? And if the action pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do it. If it does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't do it. And what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Anything which is in keeping with the Sharia of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything which is in accordance with the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for something to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are three conditions. Number one, that the thing is done with ikhlas, purely for the pleasure of Allah. Number two, that it is in accordance with the Sharia, with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, that it is in accordance with the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? Now, as long as these three conditions are fulfilled, then inshallah, that action then becomes an act of ibadah. It becomes an act of ibadah. One important thing also to remember is that in the fulfillment of our desires, we have two kinds of problems we have. One problem is that we want to do things which go against the orders of Allah. So we want to introduce things which are not there in the Sharia into our activities, and we like to do that. So a typical example is marriages, where we have introduced all sorts of customs which are not part of the marriage. The Sharia method of nikah, we are not satisfied with that, so we introduce other stuff into it. We have ceremonies before, the day before, and the day after, and so on and so on. And while on the day of the nikah also, various things. So this makes that action, which otherwise would have been an action of ibadah. The nikah, even though it's a civil contract, it is an act of ibadah because it is done in accordance with the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accordance with Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is one way of converting a good deed into a bad deed, which is to introduce stuff into it. The other side of the story is equally true, which is that sometimes we become so unnecessarily rigid that we even start prohibiting people from doing something which the Prophet ﷺ never prohibited anybody. So if you that also is equally bad. I mean, let us be very clear about this. Just because you want to get overly tough, it doesn't make it it doesn't make the action correct, right? Preventing making something halal into haram is also wrong, and making haram into halal is also wrong. Both are equally bad. So if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has not prohibited something and you say, no, this can't be done, why? No, I don't think it is right. Who are you, right? Whether you think it is right or not makes no difference. You are not the Nabi of Allah. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not prohibit something, it is not prohibited. Because the usul of Sharia is very clear. For the permissions, a specific permission need not be given. But for prohibitions, a specific prohibition is required. You know, a simple example which we always give is on a road, if there is a sign saying no entry, then you don't enter. But any road where every road doesn't have a sign saying please enter. No, I mean, if there is no sign, it means you can enter. So only when there is a prohibition in the Sharia, the usul is very clear, which is that everything is halal except that which has been prohibited. So if it has not been prohibited, if there is no specific prohibition saying do not do this, then it is jais. There is no problem. You can do it. But where there is a prohibition, to go against it obviously is haram, right? So both are equally, let us be clear about that. So let us not fall into this trap of trying to be more pious than the Prophet and you know, getting tougher about things for no rhyme or reason and prohibiting this and prohibiting that when you have no right to prohibit that. At the same time, we don't want to also fall into the trap of indulging in our own whims and fancies and permitting things which are not permissible. So that's very important for us to stay. This deen is a deen of the middle path, of the clear. It's neither on this extreme nor on the other extreme. It's in the clear and middle path. And so, inshallah, we follow that. And we do what has been permitted. And we do it with ikhlas. And we do it in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we do it with the knowledge that thereby this action becomes an action of ibadah. And it's an action for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.